Hi. I want to welcome you to the official Hacks podcast from HBO Max and Pineapple Street Studios. Ooh. I'm Angela Gibbs, and I play Robin, Marcus's mom, on the show.
And I'm Lunell, and I play her best friend. We didn't know if we were best friends or sisters. That's what we didn't know.
Oh,
until friends. It got clarified. Yeah. It would be the same either way, though.
There you go.
I play Angela's best friend, Loretta. And we're the guest host for the fourth episode of this podcast. Mm.
And joining us are the brilliant Hacks creators that we are blessed to work with. So blessed to work with. So we got the creator-writer, Jen Statsky.
Hello.
We got creator, writer, director, and actor, Paul W. Downs.
Hi.
And we have creator, writer, and director, Lucia Aniello.
Woohoo!
Thanks for doing this, guys.
Oh, thank you. So
here.
Happy to have you and see you.
We're so happy to be here. And, oh, by the way, we are the first duo, say dynamic duo.
Oh, very dynamic.
To co-host the podcast
with
these creators.
Yeah, and we hope you enjoy it. So on this podcast, new guest hosts have come in each episode to talk with you guys all about making Hacks this season. And so we're going to talk about episode 4. I'm actually excited to find out some stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Some good juicy stuff. And speaking of episode 4, which is titled The Captain's Wife, we want to give a shout out to the writers Pat Regan and Ariel Carlin, directed by Lucia, the one and only.
Oh, this is amazing. No wonder you love cruises. They're like the Vegas of the sea.
Oh, it's terrible. Gay men get me. They always have. Lesbians aren't my crowd. You're crawling all over this boat.
Oh, it's not a boat, it's a ship.
See? You don't like me for some reason.
Could it be your hundreds of thousands of jokes at their expense over the years?
I think they feel threatened.
Okay. I actually meant this was amazing for me, so.
Nice chacos.
Nice chacos to you.
What'd you say?
So last night, just so our listeners know, we had the Hack Season 2 premiere party, which was very fun.
Woohoo!
And, oh my gosh.
That's why we all sound like shit.
Yeah, we sound like shit. But I'll tell you what, you guys turned out. Your outfits were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody look, Google their outfits.
Right. Or you can look on my Instagram because I'm dropping everything.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say, first of all, it is a complete and utter honor
yes.
for me to be affiliated with this show.
Yes.
Because I bowed down to, I think I met two of the writers last night, and I said if my knees weren't bad, I would kiss your feet. Because the writing is stellar, you know,
Thank
and
you.
It's quick smart. And it's smart.
Yes.
And I am a black female. I'm a female comedian in Vegas.
Yeah, yes.
But I don't have my residency. I lost it to Corona. I was at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club by the Link.
Yeah.
In Vegas every Sunday night at 10.
Yeah.
But March 15th of 2020 was my last day there, and Jimmy hasn't opened the club back up. So this show resonates for me in a real way. And I was even talking to Gene last night, and it might have been the wine. I like to think it was me, but I made her cry a little bit. Because I told her, I said, you know, this show hits on so many levels. Ageism, sexism, you know, just the whole, it's mostly age, about, you know, how people like to cast away women of a certain age in this town.
Oh, yeah.
But something written for someone of a certain age, that's, like, I just love everybody.
And the connection between the young and the old, like building the bridge that happens between the younger writer, comedian, and the older one, and not dismissing what she built and being able to build on
Let me just talk about Hannah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Love to talk about
When I met her yesterday, I almost kissed her on the lip. Because then, you know, and you hear things as you go on, and I find out this is like her first major.
She never acted before.
That is amazing.
What pill does she take to remember those lines?
Right.
I've been acting for 30 years, and I'm like, stupid. It's the weed, I'm sure. But I said, she's so perfectly quirky and snarky and quick, but you know, I just love
She's
Hannah.
So committed
She's really
to her
special.
Point of view.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, how did you find her?
I want to know about
she,
this
She came into
process.
A pre-read. She just came into a pre-read the casting. I think it was the first time in the casting office.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. For our casting director.
And that was actually February 2020, because at first we were actually supposed to just make a pilot. But because of COVID, we couldn't. And then they're like, all right, well, you know what the show is. Go and just write it. So we already had Gene, but then all of a sudden we were like, we're writing a whole season without actually having cast Ava yet, which was hard.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
So we saw.
So wait a minute, you wrote for that character not having met her yet.
Right.
That's exactly.
Well, that's talk about a shoe fitting perfect.
Yeah.
I mean.
We saw over 400 women for the part.
Wow.
Yeah. I bet every girl in Hollywood was trying to get the, I know how that goes. Mm-hmm.
And so many super, super talented actresses that were amazing, but they're, you know, it was just such a specific thing. We had Gene, we knew the chemistry had to be there. Spot on, and when Hannah came in, when she did that pre-read in the tape, we were just like, there's something very special about this person, and it really
struck us.
And the other beauty is that she is an unknown.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't get caught up in who the actor is.
That's right.
And we wrote a bisexual woman who has a certain presentation of gender, and also
I should have auditioned for that.
it really did feel like when we saw her. And she also was very green, you know, and she got better with every audition. Mm-hmm, and the other thing that was kind of remarkable is that she was able to be so emotional so fast.
Yes.
Even
though she's a natural.
At the drop.
Vulnerability.
But she's got monologues that go.
I know.
She does her work.
It's magic.
Yeah.
It's magic.
Two things I want to throw out there. One, you know, I work with actors as well. I'm an actor, but I coach
actors. She coaches.
Yes.
And when I have those newbies who haven't, I coached this young man who played Tupac. Sometimes it's better to have someone who doesn't have, hasn't, so they don't have to unlearn.
Yes,
yes. They're not coming in trying too hard.
Yep.
But the other thing is, I noticed, and you just said it, when there's someone that you know you're really trying to get to a place, what works is how honest they are in their own life about their own selves, how self-aware they are, and how vulnerable they allow themselves to be, right? So I guess you all must have seen that, because this girl is,
stupid talent. Yeah.
But you're right. You're right. And you must see that all the time. Like Hannah, I think one of the reasons is she's so instantly good at this part and at acting is she's such a an emotionally intelligent, connected with her feelings and also connected with other people's feelings, very interested in other people's inner lives and present when you're talking to her.
Is she really bisexual? Asking for a friend.
Yes.
She is, and she's that too. She's
that too. Tell your friend she is.
And we also wrote the joke about having big hands before we cast her.
And she said, did you write this because of me? And we were like, no, it was before you. But she's like, I have big hands.
And that photo in the finale of her with those big hands, that's an actual photo of her that is not Photoshopped at all.
It's very strange.
That's
real. A lot of weird kismet stuff.
I do feel like the business that we're in, and I know you can speak to this probably even more because you stand up, which I just take my hat off to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have so much respect for stand up because it's you're in front of everyone and there you are. It's you and them.
I just finished Saturday night.
9 months.
A 9-month tour with Cat Williams. We did nothing but arenas.
Oh my God.
7,000 seats and up every night.
I wish I had seen you.
Oh my God.
A lot of video.
I follow her. So every time I get teary, I promise you, every time I see you standing in the wings and the music starts to play and they're getting ready to introduce her and she walks out, she's a little fabulous I just tear up. It's just, I mean, because it's this huge crowd and it's you. And so my question is with you all as writers and comedian is, it's that open channel thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you are just open and available. I mean, think about the big hand story, little things like that, how everything starts to fit together. It's synchronistic, it's serendipitous, it's all of that, you know. But can you speak to just allowing, with that creative process, just allowing, I'm asking all of you guys
Well, I would love to hear Linnell's take on that.
Honestly, and I've never said this before, but it's really sort of out of body that I've done shows and came up and didn't even remember what I said.
Wow.
I did a show at the Comedy Store after something the other night. We got all drunk and then we went to a Comedy Store and I killed. And I'm like, well, I don't even know why I said that. It's like a, you know, you are channeled. Yeah, it's like a God right. thing, you know, just like a writer takes it and it comes out through their hand in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's wild because this show has done some things that I've not seen before. I've not seen 15 Emmy nominations in the first season of And I was like, what? Whoa. We were sitting at home watching. I was like, what the hell? And it was just,
right.
it's just like, and it has so many different places to go. And our director,
yes.
very easy peasy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very easy and nice. And it's not one of those shitty tents. Sets.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of those things where we set up, you know, like you guys are interrogating Marcus or you're asking this or pushing Marcus to do that. But we are, I feel like you guys always stay in the zone of, you know, what buttons to push. You know, you both get to have comedy moments, fun moments, but also real moments.
Yes.
And that's, I think, part of what really feels like why you guys stand out so much on the show is because it feels like so real.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing here? I told you I needed to get work done today.
Well, Joe looked like he needed a belly rub.
What do you mean, looked like?
Well, we watched a puppy on the puppy cam all day.
What? Yep. Why?
Well, because we needed a puppy fix, and you have a puppy.
Your place is a mess, by the way. You cannot be employee of the month and be the last one to leave the club every night, Marcus.
So you break into my house, then tell me how to live.
Honey, I'm just trying to help.
Okay. Mom, stop. I'll get it. I'll take care of it just like I take care of you two and everything else.
Excuse me. I am very self-sufficient. Who are you talking to? You better check your boy.
Okay. Maybe we should go.
Yeah, I think you should. And I'm changing my puppy cam password.
Well, good, because I don't want to see you walk around butt-ass naked nowhere.
Oh, my God.
So, listener, you should know that when we first cast Angela and Lunell, they showed up to set for episode, I believe the first episode you're in is 106, right?
I think
you mean last
so.
last season.
Because we only did one.
Yeah.
No, we did two.
No, you did one.
Yeah. And so showed up to set and we had no idea, cast them independently because we were love them and we're like, yes, absolutely. Let's get them on the show. Best friends.
We
had
didn't
no
know
idea
that we were cast on the same show until we got like the call sheet.
And what was that moment like?
We called each other.
I was like, girl, guess what?
Wait, so how did you guys meet?
So the first show we did a movie called Think Like a Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
And I played, and again, we were auntie, and so I played the Regina Hall's mom.
Mm-hmm.
She was the aunt, and we're at a barbecue, and we were just riffing.
I don't even think I had script. Right. I think that.
We just made it up.
Yeah.
And the director loved what we were doing. And the director kept saying, give us more of that. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, of course.
We just, and so then they had a Think Like a Man too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
And so they had to bring us back. They brought us back.
They better.
And that's right. Mm-hmm. And we had a ball.
Yeah.
And then we had a different.
Just a little. Like we didn't have a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just had a little, but we made a lot out of a little.
Yes. Totally.
Yep.
You know, just if you say one line that's out of your head, that's perfect, then that's in, and then that's the laugh or whatever.
That's
and then,
right.
Then,
and then on the second one, we had a different connection. So the first one was just like, well, God, we love kind of how we play off each other.
Yeah.
And the second one, I won't get into any personal details, but I will say this. You know, we were kind of on the outside.
Because you got all the majors. You got Gabrielle and you got Taraji.
Yes.
And you got Gary and Kevin.
And
all them.
And so
over there.
We weren't in the family.
We weren't in the family. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Sure.
And I found myself looking at my phone, just really kind of hiding in my phone, you know? And I had been there a little bit before Lunell because, you know, you just are not really being engaged, right?
They had us, let me just say, they had us in it was 150 1,000 degrees
in Las Vegas.
In Vegas. At Caesars by the pool. Makeup was melting.
Oh my God.
And so they had us, and they put us all in this air conditioned room for holding, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, so go on, Ann.
So we're in this room, and I just, you know, pick up my phone, and she says, girl, if you don't put that phone down, She said, you ain't like these people. She said, let's have some real fucking connection here. I was like, that's my sister.
Yeah, that's
you
cool.
know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, and we just, you know, someone speaks to you real.
Yeah, for sure.
And is bold enough to call you out and say, don't do that bullshit. Don't get caught up. Yeah. That's not who you are.
Because we had already met. What are we she doing knew who here? I was.
Yeah, and that's why you guys are so good, too, on screen is because you're so authentic. Yeah. You're so real. You're so good. You're so funny. It's just very alive.
Very much like a Lucy Ethel thing. Because we know when to look at each other.
Oh, yeah.
She'll say something, I'll say something else.
Right, right.
And it's just, it's like effortless. I haven't had a scene partner like her.
Me, yeah.
Not like that.
I feel like the same way. And the thing, you know, the thing I, you, as you were talking, I trust you. Mm. Like I feel safe with you.
Oh, shit.
You know, you're, I don't know why. That could be a problem.
You feel safe with me?
Yeah.
Are you walking on thin ice?
See, I like thin ice. I feel safe on thin ice.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're a generous actor.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah.
You're a generous person.
Yeah.
And so we know, we'll sit there and you all don't know about it. We're like covering up our mics, like, why don't you say this? And then we'll say, and they'll see what they say.
Yeah.
We'll come over to you sometimes and say, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. We do this.
We love it.
And it's so cool. You know, the show is obviously about a creative collaboration between two people. Obviously, Paul and Lucia have been collaborators for a long time. We're collaborators. And so it's so, we love seeing people like you who are creative collaborators who just have that spark, that thing between you that is like, it's what we found with Gene and Hannah when we were trying to find them. It's the same.
We find it with you too as well.
Like that chemistry, you cannot replicate that. You can't write it. You can write it and hope that it's there, but you have no control over it.
That's why a lot of times people cast comics.
Yeah.
Because they want you to bring your thing.
Yeah. Right.
That couldn't be written.
That's right.
And comics are used to being authentic because that's how they connect with the audience.
That's
so they're like, they live in that zone of authenticity and realness. So they're able to hopefully bring that to the screen.
I want to talk about the episode a little bit. And did you shoot actually on a ship?
We shot some on the ship. The stuff that is mostly out on the decks is all on the ship. And there's some little pieces, but some of it also was done at large hotels that looked like cruise ships.
It was shot during the Omicron variant of COVID. Ooh. And so, you know, there was not a lot of cruising, but Royal Caribbean was nice enough to let us onto their ships.
Shout out to Royal Caribbean.
Oh, really?
So we did get out there, and it was pretty cool to be
I have performed on ships before.
How was it?
Well, the thing is, if you leave your room, you're dead.
Oh.
Because the minute you walk into the little hallway, there's people there.
Yeah.
And if people recognize you, you can't even go eat.
And
now they know where your room is.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's you either have to stay in the room and only come out at showtime, or you have to fly into the island, get on the boat, do the thing, and fly back out. Because it's harassment 24/7 for me.
For you.
Definitely. But if you have insulted somebody, if you have hit somebody up, you can't get away from them.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Which just happened to Deborah on the ship.
That was part of the thing. We wanted to put her somewhere where she was really trapped,
and
you know?
She bombed.
Well, she puts her foot in her mouth because she has an ego. It's her Achilles heel.
And one of the things that Deborah says in her set is, that's not a lesbian joke, it's a woman joke. Everyone hates women.
You there in the second row. Yeah, I mean, would you date me? I mean, you're reading a book.
Actually, I'm married to the captain.
The captain? Oh, God. Bring him out. I love a man in uniform.
She's a woman.
The captain's a woman? Oh, God. Hope we don't have to parallel park this thing. Oh, please. It's not a lesbian joke. It's a woman joke. Everyone hates women. What? They do.
Is Deborah a self-hating woman, or is this the true comedy world she grew up in? I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she has a bit of internalized misogyny. I mean, she's somebody who even says earlier, you know, I had to look a certain way. I had to stand up in a dress and heels. Like, that is the world she came from. She had to be presentable and attractive and look perfect and be perfect to even be taken seriously, you know, to an extent.
Right.
And so I do think she has that internalized, like, she wants to look a certain way because of that. And I don't think she hates women, but I do think that she has figured out a way to survive in a sexist society. Mm. And to do that, that means you have to kind of play by the rules. So,
mm-hmm. To her, she's speaking a truth, too. Yeah. She's just like, oh, come on, everybody hates women.
She's
guys,
not saying
just
she
come
hates women.
But, no.
But everybody, yeah.
I mean, our government certainly hates
absolutely.
Women.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Goodness, yes. Mm. Have you ever performed in an unfriendly room? Ever? Did you tell him to kiss your ass?
No, I want him over.
You did?
Oh, yeah, good.
Yes.
Good. Yeah, I don't like comics to be like, well, fuck you. You
that's
know?
What Deborah did. Deborah
that's what Deborah did. Yeah.
I know. I don't,
yeah.
That never really works.
No.
That right. never really works. Win him over. Or the five words that I always tell every comic that will save your life are thank you and good night. Okay, and get on out of there.
Yeah.
That'll save you.
Deborah could have taken that advice. I think. That would have been good.
She should have danced her way out of there.
Yeah.
That's another thing is that your beats are sometimes are so painfully awkward.
Yeah.
They're just like, you sit there at home like, oh my God. So this is, I can't wait. Season two.
Luna, I'm curious. I have a question for you. Like, no, going into this show, I mean, obviously you got cast, but as a stand-up, are you very critical watching shows or movies about stand-up? I imagine it's very, like, hard to see it and like, feel like it's authentic. Like, what is that? Were you like, uh-oh, a show about a stand-up? This is going to be bad.
Well, I didn't even come into it like that. I was intrigued because, first of all, it's an untapped... Nobody really digs behind a comic. Mm-hmm. You know, like Fat Tuesday is this documentary we just did.
That
showed a lot of stuff. But people just, you know, it's like being a zoo animal. People come, they watch you, and they leave.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, they just want pictures, and nobody's like, how's your day? And you can literally be signing and taking pictures and, like, dying inside, and nobody really knows that. So I was... intrigued about it, and when I read, you know, the script, I was like, okay, you know, I didn't come into it. I do see some things that are kind of corny, and but then I don't watch it, you know.
Right.
Simple.
Right. Keep it real. Okay, let's talk about my son,
Marcus.
Who is Marcus without Deborah?
Because
he's lost.
That was a deep question.
Yeah.
It really pulled me in because, you know, as actors, we do backstory as well all the time.
Right.
Right.
But, I mean, because he loses his sweetie over Deborah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, hi. Oh. Well, it's so good to see you. I thought you hated clubs. Oh, I do. But now I like it. Oh, my God, how was Zion? Zion. It was really fun. I really wanted to go, but I guess I really fucked that up. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't really think this is the place to have that combo, but maybe we could talk another time. But we can't. I blocked your number. Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, I had to. I don't trust myself not to call or text you. And if I do call or text you, I don't trust myself not to tell you that I love you, which I shouldn't say because you don't love me back. I'm saying it now because I'm a Molly. Molly.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But I do mean what I'm saying. I'm just saying it because I'm a Molly. Well, yeah, I heard you the first time.
You know, he's at this club. He's in Molly Heaven.
Yes.
He runs into his boo, his ex.
Yeah.
And he just spills his guts.
Yeah.
Which is not a Marcus thing to do.
No.
And he's so vulnerable. He's like a little kid. Well, I wouldn't say this, but I'm on a Molly, so that's why I'm saying it. But I'm not saying it because I'm on a Molly, but I mean, he just.
It's like an internal fight. He wants to talk, and part of him's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going back and forth. And, you know, it's okay. Gay couple, interracial, and, one is like really hemmed up, wound up tight, and the other one's like free spirit type thing. So it's a lot to take in as the couple. But who he is without Deborah is a question. Like, what job did he have before? Mm. Mm-hmm. What job would he do if he wasn't with Deborah?
Right.
What does he do when he's not in this relationship?
Right.
Is he easy to date? Is he on Grindr? You know.
Right. And they're all valid questions because I think the truth is he doesn't know.
Right.
He doesn't.
And that's
know.
His whole problem is he's saying, "All right, without Deborah, I he has a job, but he's not like you know forced to be working constantly. All of a sudden, he has a space for a relationship, but he lost that relationship because of Deborah. So it's a double-edged sword."
Double-edged sword.
So now he's trying to fill in. So what it does is starts to party, starts to make these new party friends. He starts to do drugs. He's like, is this it? Is this it?
He's like, I'll get a dog. I'll get a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's looking.
Talk about that dog.
Oh, talk about the dog.
Yeah, but it's so, yeah, you know, the last season, I mean, one of the last episodes of the last season, when he's, we're there together, it's so touching when he's watching, you know, and he's like, well, I'm CEO. Yeah. I asked him, was he okay? I'm CEO, you know, CFO.
CEO.
CEO,
yeah.
I'm CEO now, yeah.
You know, that's still not who he is what he does, you know?
Right,
what I mean?
Right.
But he's somebody. I'm just going to give you a compliment. That scene when Marcus, when Carl puts his head on your shoulder and you give him a little kiss, that truly made us tear up in the edit. That was all you.
That was not scripted.
That was all you. And it really, when we saw it, that makes me tear up every time I see
Sarah. She's so good.
Yeah. Thank you. I got a little pitch for some
okay,
of that.
Oh, good.
But can we just talk about Lunel's crazy ass and the dog?
Oh, my gosh.
Which I ended up, first of all, you took the dog from me. You tried to hog the dog.
I definitely did.
Okay.
And I even talked to the woman who owned the dog about the dog because then I wanted the dog.
Yeah. Very cute.
You know,
cute
I
dog.
Wanted it. Like, I didn't, every time she would take it when this scene was over, I felt like, you know, I was in Roots and somebody was ripping my child. So I couldn't keep the dog, you know? And then he made himself acquainted.
Oh, yes. Tell us about that.
Okay, tell us, yeah.
So, I don't really fuck with boy dogs. I only like girl dogs because, obviously, the penis thing is a turnoff because you scratch them on their belly and they get happy and then that lipstick thing comes out. I'm like, I'm not trying to have that happen, you know? So, and I have a bad childhood memory about that. Anyway.
Oh, you didn't go there?
So, I only do girl dogs. But he's so cute, but he was very young, and he was not potty trained
he
yet.
He wasn't. And you said what?
Not the first dog to ever pee on me.
Oh, my God.
Two legged ones.
That's the other thing is the crew. You have the amazing crew.
Amazing
the
crew. Amazing. The best crew.
And
the goal of a comic is
dying.
To crack up the crew, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She keeps them dying laughing.
I know.
Love it. They look like they're going to burst sometimes.
Sometimes our camera operators are, like, shaking because you're making them laugh.
And we can't use it.
We can't use the footage.
That's good to know.
Ava! Get your shit. We're leaving. Leaving? What? No, we're in the middle of the ocean and... No! Yeah, well, there was a quorum and it didn't go our way. We're off. Okay, well, I'll meet you at the dock then. The dinghy will be here in 10. Dinghy?
This episode is a great example, I think, of you want to have these big, funny moments, Deborah bombing and them getting kicked off the boat on the dinghy. But also then in the middle of the episode, there's this kind of long, quiet conversation about sexuality between Deborah and Ava, which is, you know, that is what we want. Always wanted the show to be tonally, which is hard, funny, really, really funny first, but then also more dramatic and real and feeling like it just true to life. And so that is such a joy that for us that we get to make a show like that, because I think for so long comedies kind of had to be one thing.
Yes,
like
they did.
You know, and they are great. We have wonderful, wonderful shows that are like that. But this episode is, I think, tonally kind of perfect in that way, because we have these big, broad, funny moments, but that conversation is so real and lovely and grounded and so wonderfully performed by Gene and Hannah. And so, yeah, I think we just are really always trying to find that balance and make sure that we have both elements in every episode, that it's not just comedy or not just the drama, but it's both.
I've been thinking about the way you talk about sex in your act, and you have all these jokes about unfulfilling sex with men.
It's just a part of my shtick.
Right. But that, plus what I think would be considered an abundance of K.D. Lang material. I'm not trying to negate your identity, but have you ever considered being with a woman?
Yeah. I'm with one right now, and I wish I wasn't.
Okay. Come on.
I like men, so no, I've never considered it. There are times that I'd wished I was gay, because I think dating women would be a hell of a lot easier.
But it wouldn't have actually been, right? To be queer when you grew up?
No. No, it wouldn't have been.
I think that that conversation in particular is one that I think we feel is emblematic of the show, where it's got funny moments, it's got serious moments, but also it's them both sharing their point of view in an honest way.
Yes.
They don't necessarily agree on it, but it's kind of fun to watch, for example, Ava's like, here's how I view orientation and sexuality, and for to see it open up Deborah just a little bit, to just change her perspective.
Yeah, because they're different generations.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
And in the end, like the idea of even this show potentially for somebody, one person out there, seeing maybe older women in a slightly different way, or considering people in a slightly different way. Seeing queer black men in a different way, seeing bisexual women or whatever it is, seeing their stories and their perspectives and their honesty and their vulnerability might give them just a tad more empathy for another person. And if that's possible in even the smallest way, then that is the greatest aim, I think, for us in the show.
Listen.
Seeing managers in a slightly different way. You know? Seeing Hollywood representation in a slightly different way.
I'm still stuck on Ari Gold from Ari Gold.
We're all snakes. We're trying to evolve past that.
And you know, there's so many things you just touched on, but one of them, the gender identity conversation that's in the middle of everybody's world now, and young people, you know, have got grandchildren and you know what's happening in their schools and the dialogue, and you're normalizing it. And I remember, just as an actor, you know, aging in this business and putting a request in the universe that I would be able to do work that mattered, right? And when you talk about just perhaps one person shifting, that's really what it's about. We do get to walk a mile in someone else's shoes as characters, and then enable people that are watching us to also have that experience. And hopefully walk away and at least talk about it, argue about it, whatever, but at least it's a conversation that's
happening. Growing up, I watched a lot of television. I have 7 siblings, but I wasn't raised with them, so I was alone a lot, so I watched a lot of TV. And I come from an era where movie stars all looked perfect. They were all perfect. Then there started to be this thing called non-traditional casting, where maybe some fat people would get cast, or maybe some darker people would get cast. And I just want the people out there listening to know that I'm working more now in my older years than I ever did when I was younger.
Me too.
That's so cool.
What do you attribute to that? Is it the times changing, or you changing, or both?
I think both. I think the times have changed. And I think, well, I think women got hotter, too, because, you know, we don't look like Donna Reed right now. You know, like, we're just hotter women now.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, needs to be celebrated as
that's
well.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, but this is just, like I say, I've never really been a regular on anything. I'm always just in and I'm out. And, you know, thanks, Linnell, and goodbye. I've never had a parking spot. I've never been in a family. And I've always wanted to belong to a family.
Yes.
Now, I've only done 5 episodes for this. But I feel, you know, when I did 4 this season, I was like, well, shit.
I need another one. We called each other like, girl.
I'm reoccurring. I said, bitch, am I reoccurring? And then I'm like, okay, bitch. So this, I'm like, and then Hax was blowing up. And I'm like, that's me. I'm too. So this is got a big family feel, too.
Oh, yeah, we are a family.
To be able to get Jean in a vulnerable spot, like I said, I had her to myself for a little while last night. And I talked to her as an older woman, too, an older woman in this business and doing stand-up. And I told her, I said, you grabbed the brass ring again.
Yes.
I said, just when you thought it was probably whatever, I said, you fucking did it. You did this. Because it's, you know, we're all supporting, you know, but she is the star.
Yes.
And to even have a show written for a woman like that, you know,
I
hope you set a template for other productions.
I have to say, like, the idea that you feel the family vibe on set and feel concluded means more to me than even people who are like, I love the show, because that is,
the catering, the camera guys, the grips. Well, hey, you know, when I came back and stuff, people was like, happy.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 You know, yes. Feel valued. Mm-hmm. And again, a woman of a black woman feeling, coming on a set feeling valued, mm-hmm. recognized, have a space where I'm safe to be creative, mm-hmm. and it's stimulating and supportive. You just, you know, I didn't come up like that. I didn't come up, you know, I had to make my way, or you've got to be quiet.
And a lot of stuff was really coonish, if you really want to know.
Or you can't be too angry. You're the angry black woman.
On the white show.
Yeah. Mm. There's how do I fit in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here, it was
welcome from the beginning. And I think when I first saw you, I think I kissed you. I would hug you. I was like, oh my God. You know, I fangirled out on everybody. Everybody.
I loved it. Right, I was inviting it. I loved it.
And when you were doing this, I said, they want us to do the podcast.
I know.
They got a podcast.
Yes. Oh my God. We were like, who? There's no one more fun. Yeah. There is nobody.
Yeah, that's a day on set you look for.
Yeah. We would be very bad at our jobs if we saw the magic between you two and didn't want you involved as much as possible.
More and more and more.
Mischief. Whatever mischief. If you want to see it. Now it's time for the part of the show where the guest hosts get their big chance to pitch the Hacks creators on what they'd like to see happen on a future season of the show.
So I have a pitch I want to throw in.
Yes.
Okay, please.
You got one? You want to go with yours first?
No. I mean, you go ahead.
So because Marcus and Wilson are split up, but Robin loves wrestling, and so does Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there should be an episode or an arc.
Yes.
Where
multiple.
Yeah, multiple. Multiple. Where Marcus finds out that Loretta and Robin are hanging out at Wilson's house watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Because remember, he has a little attitude about us being at his
house. Oh, yes. Right? Oh, yes.
So now he doesn't see us as much at his house because we're over there.
I like that.
But what's happening is Loretta wants to see a gay wedding, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So Loretta is talking to Wilson about coming back. And I end up going to talk to Marcus about opening up. So we have this somehow. We get to see an arc.
Parent trap them together. Yeah.
But at least there's some, you know, in terms of the arc, again, there's that moment where we get to be funny, but we also get to tell them our wisdom, give them our wisdom, our truth, of what's really keeping them apart.
You know? Yeah.
So that's my pitch.
I love it.
Season,
and then
but I said, wouldn't it be funny to do a Thelma and Louise road trip to go to Deborah's show, get drunk, rowdy, get kicked out, and Marcus is totally mortified that this is his fucking mother that got kicked out of Deborah's show, and she's all pissed and all this kind of stuff. So
yes, I love that.
About that.
I love that.
But I just feel like at that point, Deborah has to come confront us.
And yeah. Ooh,
she
scary.
Finds out, she finds out how funny you
scary.
Are.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, and then she finds out how funny she is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or Deborah could get drunk and pass out at somebody's slipping with Molly, and I might have to stand in for her.
Oh.
I love you guys so much.
We love you too.
Thank you.
We love you guys. Thank you for doing this.
What a pleasure.
So that's it for now. In our next episode, Jen, Paul, and Lucia will discuss making the fifth episode of this season of Hacks, which is entitled Retire.
So, Lunel and JPL. So, yeah. Goodbye.
Woo-hoo. I know.
We should get a tattoo.
Yeah, I'd
Let's
love
get
that.
A tramp stamp that says JPL.
Let's get a tattoo. Let's go do that now.
Hilarious.
This is the Hacks official podcast with Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky. Special thanks to this episode's guest hosts, Angela Gibbs and Lunel. This podcast is a production of HBO Max and Pineapple Street Studios. Our executive producers are Barry Finkel, Gabrielle Lewis, Jenna Weiss-Berman, and Max Linsky. Our producers are Biondria July, Melissa Slaughter, and Ari Saperstein. Our managing producer is Aaron Kelly, and Maria Robin Somerville is our associate producer. Darby Maloney is our editor. The show is mixed by Twee McCallum, with engineering from Davey Sumner. Production music is courtesy of HBO. You can watch episodes of Hacks on HBO Max. Until next time.